For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I mean, they play good football all around. They're an all-around team. And obviously, the quarterback's elite. So anytime you go against an elite quarterback, those are the guys that, you know, move the needle on wins and losses. And so you have to defend a really good quarterback.
That is Arizona Cardinals defensive coordinator Nick Rallis talking about Josh Allen and the difficulty of defending him. I think we as Bills fans know that very well with a lot of our good memories, good years even coming from the Bills. It has been watching Josh Allen make teams look foolish for 3 hours.
It's Wait a lot second. Of fun. Why are you talking about it like it's past tense?
I mean, well, it's been past tense. We've seen it. Now we're going into the future tense.
Well, the way you were talking,
all of a sudden he's 40.
The way I heard, I was like, wait a minute, why are we talking about it like it's over? It's just starting.
he's 40. His career's over with. good for
Wake
the memories.
Up, it's a dream.
Let's keep getting connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We've been reading a lot of tweets today. Also looking for your calls, 803-0550, the number to call. On where would your level of panic be if the Bills were to lose to Arizona? I don't think week one is necessarily the end-all be-all. The Bills have lost a number of times in week one and have had good seasons. But I find this one incredibly funny. It is Derek tweeting, and not our Derek here at WGR, but a random Derek.
Not our Derek.
If they lose, they better tank the rest of the season. If they can't win versus them, Arizona, it's going to be hellfire and brimstone around here. Might not be totally wrong in terms of people being upset.
See, and okay.
I just like the imagery of hellfire and brimstone in Buffalo.
I mean, he's not wrong, but I just don't want that to be the thought process. Because, yes, we talked the whole first hour about how if you don't win that game by 40, there's going to be panic. But it's one game.
It's one game.
And I know, like I said, we were just talking about how it's very important to win and it's very bad if you lose that game. But it's also not the end of the season. It's not good, and it makes the rest of the season harder, but it doesn't make it impossible. Mm-hmm. It's not like last year where you have a 1% chance of winning the AFC East and a 5% chance of making the playoffs if you lose to the Arizona Cardinals in week one.
Yep.
Depending on how you lose, it's going to make it look a certain way. Mm-hmm. But
And kind of on this point, John tweets in, they lost to Zach Wilson and the Jets last year.
In week one.
Off a freak catch and a punt return for a touchdown their first game. They made the playoffs. We'll just depend on how they get beat, but still no real panic. I think that's also a right way to put it, too. It depends on how they get beat. I mean, if they are blown out by Arizona, that's way different. It's a way different feeling. I legitimately can't see that, especially with Josh Allen at quarterback. And really, up to this point, the Bills just don't get blown out. I mean, they don't. They lose close games. Mm-hmm. But in the McDermott Allen era, they really do not get blown out. I think the Colts game from a few years ago,
where Jonathan Taylor had 5 touchdowns.
It's kind of cool to watch.
I played against someone that had Taylor on their fantasy football team that week, and it was bad.
It's kind of cool though.
He had like 75 points.
Yeah, well, Alvin Kamara had one
in Christmas Day. Or Christmas
Day,
Eve.
Where he had like 6 rushing touchdowns
and a receiving touchdown,
and it was genuinely like one of like the greatest fantasy performances of all time. Yeah, wow.
Jonathan Taylor.
Always forget he's on the Colts because of everything that happened in the beginning of last year.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because there was all of that drama last year.
I keep
year.
Thinking, I'm like, yeah, it's Anthony Richardson. Like, they got Adonai Mitchell. Like,
Michael Pittman.
Who's the running back? Oh, my gosh, it's Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, the Colts quietly have a good team if they can stay healthy. And if Anthony Richardson is good, the Colts offense is pretty scary.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones here. We've got David on the line. David, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Doing very well.
Doing good.
I got to be honest with you, guys. Lifelong Bills fan. I'm in my 50s, early 50s. This team's let me down, so maybe this call comes from a negative direction. But I'm telling you, if we lose this game, the season's over, and not in a bad way, because guess what? I think all of us in Buffalo know that next season with all the cap space is where we really go after it. So can we just stop lying to ourselves and say maybe next year is the year?
But week one, you're thinking it's over? If they lose to an NFC team, like it wouldn't even be an AFC team.
Oh, well, okay, so just say we beat Arizona. Look at the rest of the schedule. Do you think this team is good enough to go to the Super Bowl? I think we have a lot in place. I don't think we have enough in place to be a Super Bowl contender. I think with the cap space we have next year, we can go after wide receivers and everything needed to win the season. So, yeah, you're right. Am I over? am I dying on the lifeboat? Of course I am, because I'm a diehard Bills fan. But that's just my two cents.
Thanks for the call, David. I think he's
absolutely right about next season in terms of the cap space and in terms of the ability to make moves and all of that. That is 100% true.
I agree.
But I get where he's coming from in like the, you know, kind of facetious way of saying like, oh.
Well, it's hard being a Bills fan. They lose all the time. We went through a near 20-year playoff drought. I get it.
Yeah. I didn't
see my first Bills playoff game until I was 19 years old. So, I get it.
It's a Buffalo thing.
I haven't really even said that. I aged it too. I was like, yeah, I went through my entire adolescence.
That really kind of
the painful period of puberty where like it's the worst. No one was awful.
Think about it though. I mean, we were like really little kids when the Bills were in the playoffs, like in the early 2000s. Right. Mm-hmm. But like it wasn't the same because you're three looking at a TV screen not knowing what's going on.
Oh yeah,
like it's not the same.
I've had people ask me about being a Texas fan. Like, are you a huge Vince Young fan? I'm like, oh sure. I mean, like he won in 05, but like I have no recollection of that year. Like I don't really count my fandom starting until like 07, 08. Like it's the last 2 years of Colt McCoy. So like I technically have a Texas national championship that I can like parade around. I wasn't really a fan at the time. It's kind of the same with like, you know, when Bills fans do talk about the 90s, I won't.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't alive during
that. Well, right, yeah. I mean, my parents talk about the 90s a lot.
Sure.
It's funny because during the whole drought, my dad kind of went away from the team a little bit. Mm-hmm. Partially because he's a little bit of a bigger Sabres fan.
Yep.
That's the reason why I'm such a big Sabres fan. But he talks about, you know, the Super Bowl parties and just the excitement around the team, both teams in the 90s. Because both teams at that time, that's the last time they were both good at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, think about that. I mean, you had the start of the Dominic Hasek era for the Sabres, and then you had the four Super Bowls for the Bills all in a row. And
that was a good time.
Lucky us, we were born 9 years too late.
That is kind of a good time. I get that. Yeah, it is tough. I can understand, again, the level of panic. It's just, it won't be for me. I won't like it. I'm not going to sit there and go, shucks, let's, you know, get them next week. No, I mean, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah.
Mainly because I've kind of stuck my neck out a little bit for this team and thinking they're doing the right way in terms of team building. So if it looks like a disaster on Sunday, I'll be a little upset on a personal level.
Again, like we talked about yesterday and other points this offseason, it might take some time for this team to fully get rolling. Like if there's hiccups on Sunday,
any
season, that should be expected. Even in the 13 seconds here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even against the Rams.
Well, I mean, I brought that game up. I think they had like two or three turnovers.
Yeah.
They didn't look awesome. You know, they had
that.
Well,
okay, wait, no. They looked awesome in that game against the Rams.
Well, but you could leave and go, man, the Rams really look bad. The Rams let up five sacks.
Yeah,
I think, honestly, fair. I took more from that game of the Rams look really bad.
But even, I mean, look at the 13 seconds here. They lost week one to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh.
That game, I'm glad you brought that one up. I brought up a little bit, but I didn't initially jump into it. Do you remember all the hype coming into that season?
Mm-hmm.
Especially because you made the AFC Championship the year prior, 13-3. Oh my gosh, you get them at home. Pittsburgh doesn't look good.
Like, nope, you only made the divisional championship.
In 2020?
2020, going into 2021.
Yeah, you went to the AFC Championship game in 2020. Yeah, this is the year following that.
Sorry, I'm thinking backwards.
But, so you had all the hype and everything. I mean, you're like, I remember having conversations with friends and family of like, there's simply no
way they lose to Pittsburgh. It's 100% guarantee.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're having this conversation. Let's get to week two. Who do they play week two? Do you have it up?
Miami. And you know what they did in week two?
They killed Miami.
35
they shut
nothing.
Them out.
Yeah,
they 35 killed Miami. To nothing. You know what they did in week four? 40 to nothing against Houston. Yeah.
But that's the thing. I remember that. It's just like, let's get to Miami. Let's get to the divisional to the divisional game in week two. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then the Pittsburgh game is a tire fire.
Yeah.
And it was bad.
I remember
that. And that's also why, week one, I cannot put much credibility into it.
Looking at, 2022, when they take on the Rams the year after 13 seconds and all that stuff, it's a 31-10 win.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember them looking fantastic. I mean, yes, there was two Allen interceptions and two fumbles, too.
Yeah.
One by Moss, one by
Cook. It was not a good
day. Oh, my God, that was Zach Moss's first touch. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or was it James Cook's first touch? One of them had their first NFL run, and it was a fumble.
James Cook, I think?
I don't remember. But regardless, I still remember, even though that all happened, it was a good game. It was a good second half, really.
It is weird. Looking back at the 2021 season now, we're going to hear from Sal Capaccio here in just a few more minutes, getting ready for practice at 12:30. Bills head coach Sean McDermott also speaking with the media at 12 o'clock. Looking back at the season, so you lose to Pittsburgh and then immediately just set fire to the teams that you're playing. Again, a shutout
Miami. Oops, that was an accident.
Yep.
So let's see what we can really do here.
Shutout win over Miami. You blow out Washington. Shutout win against Houston. You win by 18 at Kansas City in a rain-delayed game.
I remember staying up for that game, too.
Yep. And so, you blew them out.
Yeah.
Lose to Tennessee going into the bye, but it's a close game. You were at the goal line.
I don't remember that game.
I do. I was sitting in this room, I think it was Nate Geary was getting ready for post game, and it's just they fell right at the goal line.
Oh, it was, okay.
They went into the bye.
Fourth, yeah.
And they were 4-2. Then you come out of the bye, dominant win against Miami, 26-11. And then it all kind of fell apart a little bit. Again, you have the Urban Meyer game, 9-6, you lose. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Beat the Jets, who cares? The Jonathan Taylor game.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
41-15.
You know who led the Bills in rushing in that game?
Who?
Matt Breida.
Matt, what a name. What a name. Let's go, though, to the Wester Hotline as our own Sal Capaccio joins the show as we get ready for practice coming up at 12:30. Bills head coach Sean McDermott speaking at 12 o'clock. But, Sal, we're going to get injury reports, maybe captains today as well.
Yeah, I would expect that. Usually it happens today, the first big media day before the first game, that we'll get an announcement on captains. Usually it gets tweeted out and some sort of release by the team. That could happen here in the next 45 minutes before Sean McDermott speaks, actually. But we'll see if that's the case. And then on top of that, our first injury report of the year will be out after practice, the official injury report. But the advantage of having Sean McDermott speak to us at noon, I'm sure he'll give us an update on injuries. We'll kind of know going into practice what that looks like, basically.
So, Sal, in terms of watching practice, I heard you on with Jeremy and Joe earlier today, too. It's regular season rules. You guys aren't going to be able to kind of hang out for the entire practice, right? There's going to be a media viewing portion.
Yeah, for sure. So it works. Actually, started last week once they got through final cuts. It started last week, and now it really kind of ramps up as far as how much we can watch, what we can and can't report. But it really doesn't matter as far as what we can and can't, because we're not watching offense versus defense anyway. But we get to watch stretching. We get to watch individual position work, which means quarterbacks throwing to receivers or, defensive linemen going through some bags or something like that. That usually takes about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then the team breaks off into offense and defense work. Then we go back in the media room, and then the team practices. And obviously that's because of strategy and things like that. They're working on a game plan, and then we'll be able to go out afterwards once they're coming back in to the field house, and that's when we'll hear from Josh Allen, typically on a Wednesday. I'm guessing that's the case today. Somebody else, usually the middle linebacker, I'm guessing maybe Terrell Bernard. We'll find out if he's a captain. Usually that's the way it works. But a lot to kind of get through today, and then we'll know how the rest of the year works with that, but that's how it works.
In terms of this week, in the injury report, I think, is maybe the thing people are most looking forward to. Sal, we talked about it a lot, too, is just this team sort of had the typical preseason injuries that everyone kind of picks up. Yes, there was one, of course, very serious with Matt Milano, out for effectively the year. We'll see if he's able to come back around December. But towards the end of preseason, it looked like the Bills were starting to turn a corner, start getting healthy. Do you have kind of any like expectations or predictions with this first injury report, namely with guys like Curtis Samuel, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the safety room?
My guess is that some of those guys will still be on the report. But guys, they all were practicing last week. The only guy that was missing from practice last week, the last time we were out here for an actual practice day, was Taron Johnson. And he had missed a couple days. He had actually been on the field walking around, and they said it was a quad injury, but it wasn't like it didn't seem serious, just kind of the way that was going. And then the next day, he wasn't there at all. So that's something to monitor. Everybody else practiced, guys, in some capacity. Cole Bishop had, I think, a red non-contact jersey on, if I remember right, but Mike Edwards didn't. MVS had switched his number. He was practicing. Curtis Samuel, he was practicing. So everybody was practicing in some capacity. Now, we don't get a official questionable designation or whatever, you know, earlier, or even like limited in practice, like something like that doesn't come out official. We just have to kind of know, and usually sometimes the team relays that to us during training camp and preseason. But now it's official. Like now we'll know. You'll get today whether they were full or limited, and whether they're questionable or, you know, what. Actually, that doesn't come out till Friday, the injury designations. But today we'll get the full and limited and, you know, didn't practice, something like that.
Yeah, instead of, like, trying to, like, decipher your guys' videos and stuff like that, we'll actually get the limited and then
right.
Full and all that, which, personally, as someone that writes an update, thank you. That's nice. I don't have to work as much. It's good. It's good, Sal. It makes my life easier.
Yeah, and we'll find out for the Cardinals too, right? I mean, that's always there's two teams here, so you know, we'll find out for the Cardinals what their injury situation is like, and you know, we'll get an injury report from them later. Now they're on West Coast time. There's no time necessarily you have to have it submitted by necessarily today for either team, like Eastern time, based on when they practice. So my guess is, I don't exactly know what time they practice today, but my guess is we won't get the Cardinals injury report until later this afternoon.
So, Sal, obviously you guys have been back in the building now for quite some time, but does it just kind of feel different down there today? I mean, it just feels more real, right? Because it's a game week. You know, the Bills play on Sunday. There's a game tomorrow. There's a game Friday. It feels more business as usual, right? Like, it's just kind of that time of year now.
Yeah, for sure, guys. It does. Like, when I walked into the media room just a little while ago, and I'm getting stuff set up, and there's already other media in there now, and people are kind of doing their work, getting set. You know, we're kind of thinking about the storylines for the week, you know, and what's going on, and thinking about Sean McDermott talking at 12 noon and what he's going to say and what we're going to ask him. You know, of course, those things happen during the preseason and training camp, but now it's more routine, and you know exactly kind of what to expect and what the week looks like. And it's a game. It's a real game. I mean, you got an NFL game being played right here about, 50 yards from where I'm standing right now and inside Highmark Stadium on Sunday afternoon. And at the end of about 4 o'clock on Sunday, the Buffalo Bills are going to be 1-0 or 0-1. You know, obviously, like, you could have a tie, but 1-0 or 0-1, and it's going to kind of determine and shape a lot of our thoughts on what this team is. And going into today, I think people are still wondering what that is. What does the team look like? And you know, you got the injuries, of course, and the questions. But I think just overall, what does this team look like on the field this year? And it's kind of funny too. You say that, people always say to me, man, it's your busy time of year. And it is, of course, right? I mean, you're always working. Every day something going on, covering an NFL team, and that is the case. But I a lot of ways, guys, I prefer the regular season for that, even versus the offseason, because of its more routine. I know what my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday generally looks like every week. Whereas during the offseason, during the preseason, especially training camp, it's all herky-jerky and different schedules and different times on different days. Like, I mean, starting this week, now, granted, the Bills do play today. I'm sorry, Sunday. The next week they play Thursday, right? A week from tomorrow they have another game. And then they play a Monday night game. So the first few weeks will be a little disjointed. And then once you get into a routine, you kind of know what to expect every day.
So, Sal, kind of the big question we're having today on the show, we read a lot of tweets, taken a few calls as well, is just sort of like, because you've mentioned a lot, there's a lot of unknowns with this Bills team. And we kind of were, you know, getting the temperature of, What would your level of panic be if the Bills were to lose against Arizona? For me personally, I've said this a lot in the last few weeks as well. It's just, it's week one. It can kind of be a little weird. It's not really the greatest litmus test for where your season's going. It can turn out to be. I mean, you look at the Bills last year against the Jets, ultimately having their struggles on offense. But a lot of times, you know, we were just going through the 2021 season here right before you jumped on. You know, they lost to Pittsburgh, and the next four games they won in blowouts. I mean, they shut out two opponents. They beat the Chiefs almost by 20. So where would your level of panic be if they were to lose to Arizona?
pretty high, guys, to be honest with you. I think this is a team you need to beat. I was listening a little bit earlier, and someone, I think, tweeted in and said because of the schedule, and I think that's right. I think, like, this is a game you got to get. Look at the first six games. I mean, if you come out of the first six games 4-2, I think that's good. That's real good. I think I would take 4-2 right now for the Buffalo Bills and feel very good about what the rest of their season could look like if they go 4-2. But to go 4-2, I think you have to beat Arizona. Like, if you don't beat Arizona, where are the other four wins coming from out of the next five games? Right? I mean, that's a gauntlet. You have Miami, Jacksonville, Baltimore, Houston, the Jets. I mean, these are tough opponents. Three of those games are nighttime games. Two of them on the road at night. This is a game. Look at this point spreads for this week. I think this is the second highest, maybe third, of like point spreads around the league. I think New England, since he's a 9 or 9.5 point favorite over New England, and then it's Buffalo and San Fran, I think, actually like 6 around there. Either way, the point is the Bills should win this game. They should be the better team. Now, we don't know exactly who the Arizona Cardinals are. I know they didn't win many games last year. They did win a couple big ones towards the end of the year. They did go to Pittsburgh in the rain, I think, and win. They beat Philly towards the end of the year. They have some talent. They have a quarterback that can make some plays. But you got them right here, a West Coast team coming here for a 1 o'clock game in the opener. You got to win this game. And if they don't win this game, I think that the panic level gets turned up. Now, you could turn it right around and win 5 nights later in Miami, and then you ask me the same question, and I would be like, okay, things are a little bit better now. That's fine. But, man, I think going to Miami is a tough spot Thursday night. And if you start 0-1, you are staring 0-2 straight between the eyes.
And I think it's also fair to bring up, too, this team, at least in the McDermott-Allen era, the Jacksonville Jaguars have their number. Yeah, you get them at home on Monday night. You get a little bit of a break. But that game is not even a gimme.
No, and I'll say, though, I like Matt Bove and I on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo actually went through the first six games and said, what's our confidence level on each game of the Bills winning? I had that game actually pretty high. I think it was number 2. This Arizona's number 1. That was number 2, first six games. And the reason is, not only here on a Monday night, but also you get, I think, 11 days to get ready for that. So they have a Thursday and then a Monday, right? You have like a lot of time. It's like a nice little bye week almost. And then, so I think that's a good spot for them. I think that Miami game's a tough game. It's a tough spot. So the first three games, to me, two very winnable games that you should win at home, Arizona and Jacksonville. I think the Miami game is a toss-up. I could see the Bills losing that game. But if you come out of the first three games, at 2-1, yes, I know, if you drop a division game, you know, you don't want to see that. But I think you got to set the tone now. You can't let that happen. You can't let this team can't let themselves get behind and have to play catch up. You have to win a game like this.
All right, Sal, taking some time up in your morning. Thank you so much for joining us. We know you got McDermott coming up at 12, practice at 12:30. But real quick before you get out of here, special Northtown Automotive Extra Point show tomorrow.
Oh yeah. Thank you. Thanks for letting me tell everybody, because tomorrow I'm going to be over at Northtown Kia, 2900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. And I tell you what, if you get there, especially early enough, you get yourself a Paula's Donut. How about that, right? Well, also, because they're going to go quick, man. Paula's Donut's out there. We're going to have some WGR merchandise and swag. And you can enter to win Buffalo Bills merchandise, courtesy of Northtown Automotive. They are the official dealership of the Buffalo Bills, of course. I'm going to be out there. And, we're going to be saying hi to people, doing the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That's tomorrow, 10 a.m. till 12 p.m.
Awesome. All right, Sal, thanks so much for jumping on with us. We'll talk again later.
All right, you got it, man. Thanks.
And that was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. I kind of do want the captain announcement, though, like before we're done. Because it feels like every team has already done it. I'm just like waiting. Yeah. And knowing the Bills have turned over a lot of the veteran leadership, I'm like, all right, who does the team think is maybe more or less kind of the future of the leadership group? I do imagine, of course, Allen, Sal brought up too, Terrell Bernard. We'll see if he's captain. I do imagine he will be. But then, you know, maybe Taron Johnson. Does anyone in the safety room?
It's got to be, you know, at noon today, right?
It could be, yeah, like right before McDermott speaks. No, they like, out kind of deal.
I think as he's speaking, you know, like the introductory part, like, hey, guys, just sitting down here. Here's the captains. Like, you know, I think that would make sense.
That'd be nice. I would like that. That'd be good.
I would love it if it happened right now, because I just want to know.
Yeah, it's never something I care all that much about.
No, but this year I think it's different. Because there's so much turnover. There's going to be so many different names in this. I mean, obviously, Allen's still going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? We're going to shake things up a little bit.
We get the Stephon Diggs GQ article yesterday, and now all of a sudden, that'd be awful.
That article, those quotes,
tough.
questions.
Talk a little bit about that here after a quick timeout. 803-0550 is the number to call. What would your level of panic be if the Bills were to fall to the Arizona Cardinals? We heard from Sal. It's pretty high, and I think he paints a pretty grim picture, though, if they were to fall, especially with the schedule coming up. We saw someone on Twitter say the same thing as well. Again, 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here for about another half hour. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
And this from the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is WGR.
Now, you mentioned backlash from Jet fans. What type of backlash did you experience after you sacked Aaron Rodgers and he ruptured his Achilles?
I guess the fans just, like, threats, you know, hoping the worst of me, basically. I kind of didn't pay no mind to it. I'm using it as my motivation for this game. That's what I'm using. But, yeah, they was talking crazy. Like, I hope you die, you know, I hope your family, something happened to your family, something. It was just a whole bunch of different fans just inboxing. And I'm like, dang, I just played football. I didn't want to hurt.
That is former Bills edge rusher Leonard Floyd. Only played 1 year here, but he's talking there the horrific side of fandoms in sports, in media, and really anything. He's talking about death threats he was receiving from Jets fans following
this. Absolutely crazy. It's a sport.
It's not even that for me because it's not just in sports. I mean, like, that's why I brought it up in media. I don't like those people, those kind of people that I'm going to DM an athlete and talk trash because my parlay went down. You're not my friend. I don't really care to like you or
they're the desperate people that are just like, I mean, do you see that there's maybe a month ago, a guy literally, Aaron Rodgers was walking by him and he was crying saying, I just want one Super Bowl.
Yeah, and see, I don't need that. I don't need that. No. I think a lot of it veers very quickly into I no longer see players as people. And that's where I can't get it all.
Yeah, and it goes both ways, the negative and the positive not seeing players as people anymore. And I just think that's like I don't know. I've been very mad after some sporting events, and I've never once thought, oh, I should message the athlete that just beat my team.
Yeah, and say some
and
of the
say
most
bad
vile
stuff
things.
About their family.
Yeah,
like I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Yep. Though we did get some news yesterday, we mentioned it right there at the end of the outset. Stephon Diggs, he was in a GQ article talking about his exit with the Bills, looking forward to next or for this season now with Houston. It was a little eye-opening. For some fans, though, I don't think it was. For me, it was.
I think it was very.
Well, that's what I'm saying. For me, it was, but I think there was a lot of fans saying, like, no, he's a diva, he's going to cause problems, what have you.
The main quote that gets everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen it yet, here's the quote. None of those teams wanted to get rid of me, Buffalo or Minnesota. Things had to shake because I kind of wanted them to shake.
Which is him kind of outright saying, I want it out.
Yeah, which for Minnesota, I kind of, that one was a little different.
Minnesota, I defended vehemently because it was, Kevin Stefanski, the OC in Minnesota.
You're not getting a chance.
Didn't want to throw the ball. He wanted to keep either running it or throwing to Adam Thielen. Stephon Diggs is the better wide receiver. Statistics would tell you, and analytics would tell you, he is the better wide receiver. He's the better deep ball wide receiver. He's the better contested catch guy. He was known as, even at that point, a technician route runner. He was the better receiver. Yeah. Why are you only targeting Thielen?
Right.
That one made sense.
But in Buffalo, though, I just don't understand what changed last season. It had to have just been last season. I mean, or what I've been thinking about, too, does this go back to when Daboll left?
Could have gone back to when Dable left. I think a lot of it too, you know, last year when Joe Brady takes over, they still targeted him. Just wasn't very effective. I mean, he also has a quote in there. I didn't just forget how to play football, you know, with some expletives thrown in there as well. Yeah. But yeah, like it just, it's, I don't know. I'm sitting there and I'm going, it's not great, man.
It's not that I don't get what he's trying to say.
No, I very much get what he's trying to say.
I just don't get the reasoning. I don't understand. Like, again, you had your best career years here.
People were arguing that you were an MVP player after like 1 or 2 years in Buffalo because it was like it put all the context into the Minnesota years of like, man, he was just underused.
Well, what the other thing is here too is you look at the last 10 games between Diggs and Shakir.
Mm-hmm.
Just those two specifically.
Yep.
Shakir had 40 more receiving yards. Shakir had 462. Diggs had 422. Shakir had 37 targets. Diggs had 80.
Yeah.
He had double the targets and 40 less yards.
But maybe that's where he was frustrated. Is that ultimately his?
But where is that? But that's where it becomes whose fault is it? Is it Allen's fault or is it Diggs' fault or is it just
Brady's fault or an amalgamation of everybody?
It's not. I don't think it'd be Brady's fault in that sense because Diggs was targeted 80 times. It's not like he's getting targeted less.
No, but it could come down. He wasn't targeted down the field or what have you. You know, again, that's where the usage comes in of like, and he was used more as just get the ball out quick to Diggs.
I guess.
Ultimately, I think regardless, the Bills were going to have to eventually move off of Diggs. They did with the cap hit to eventually free up cap space. He was getting there up in age. I mean, he's 30 now, but he's never been this supreme athlete. So his numbers will start to decline. It's normal. But it's just, I'm sad at how it's ended. Diggs is one of my favorite Bills of my lifetime. The connection between him and Allen was legitimately spectacular from the word go. We didn't have a preseason in 2020. So the first time we got to see Allen and Diggs was that 2020 opener against the Jets. And he had like 7 catches for 80 yards. And then the next week, no one gets to see his touchdown because there was a problem with the truck because of like lightning or whatever. I remember that vividly.
Yeah, right.
But he had like 140 yards and a great deep ball pass that Allen looked amazing on, you know, what have you. It was great. And for it to ultimately end like this, it's just a real sour note. Again, I like what the Bills are doing in their wide receiver room. I think that's correct. I think they ultimately missed in the Diggs years by not having another guy for Allen to go to, by not really having a consistent number two option. But now, you know, again, and Diggs is going to, you know, retire as one of my favorite Bills of all time. But I am going to have this sour taste in my mouth, you know, looking back at these highlights going, yeah, and it ended really badly. You know, they trade him for a pick in the next year, which, you know, ultimately looking back makes sense. But, you know, then, you know, there were years where you just always kind of felt like you were walking on eggshells with him. I wonder if that's how the Bills felt as well. I also do wonder, I mean, the Bills, you know, looking ahead, we're filling up or freeing up cap space for next year. I would also imagine it wasn't 100% Diggs wanting out, and the Bills were begging him to stay. I would wager a lot of money that was closer to 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like now I do look at not this offseason, but last offseason, you know, going into OTAs and the problems being there and just, again, like everyone kind of having to, not coddle. Coddle's not the right word. But where Diggs could kind of be as what's the best way to say it? A little morose as he's talking, kind of like leave in the idea that, oh yeah, well, I may not play here. You know, it's a business. It may not happen.
Yeah.
Every time, even though it was like, yeah, I want to retire Bill, but you know, I may not. You know, we'll see. Then the Bills would go out and Allen would go out and go, no, he's my brother. He's going to retire Bill. You know, we're you know, the relationship's perfect, the whole thing. It always felt like he could kind of say whatever he wanted. Everyone else had to play, you know, the company line, which every team in the NFL kind of does. When we were talking about it, it was quite surprising that Brandon Ayuk, just because you never really see that from teams or players, they often want to make it sound like it was all, you know,
the other person's
sunshine
fault.
And, well, not even that, but sunshine and roses.
Okay, yeah.
Never actually a problem.
There are some times, though, where you have teams trying, or you have a contract situation like that. Brandon Ayuk could have said, oh, well, you know, I was trying to be cooperative the whole time. They were the problem.
Yeah, they were the ones that...
But he came out and was honest about it. And that's it's refreshing because it's not normally what you see. Or, yep. Or like you said, they kind of just covered up. Yeah, everything's fine. Everything's great. Yeah.
What do you mean, man?
Yeah, yeah. Well, then why did it take so long? Yeah. Right? Like, that's the thing is when you get in these situations, if everything is fine, then why... why does it feel off?
Yep.
Because you like, you can tell as a person, whether it's sports or just life in general, you can tell when something's not what that what people say it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just happens that way, right? And sports in situations like this are no different. You could tell that something was off just with the offense and with the group. And
that's why
there were times where it felt like it was getting back on track and felt like it was becoming better again. Mm-hmm. But then it was just – there was a point where it was like the point of no return and you're just like, yeah, no.
That's the thing too. Ken Dorsey ultimately gets fired after a game that was not his fault in losing, but mm-hmm. it felt like it the time was coming.
Yeah. That was like – the first domino to fall, I think.
Yeah, it's just last year was a very weird year. I look at it a lot, but I look at it as maybe one of the worst years of the Al McDermott era. I think even looking back on it when all of this is said and done,
mm-hmm.
and even then, I mean, they went 11-6 and they won the division.
Yeah, and again, you, we see things all the time where, you know, you look at the Chiefs season last year. It was supposed to be a low point. And
Mahomes has openly talked about it at camp.
How they didn't play well, and they weren't,
and they didn't like playing. That it was not fun, and that it was always hard. And they still won a Super Bowl. I mean, like, so that's my thing too. Is we've talked a lot about panic levels going up against the Arizona Cardinals. I think Sal though was right to bring up. You know, they're 6.5 point favorites. It's one of the highest spreads in Week One. Do I think they're going to beat Arizona? Yes, mainly because as many fans necessarily don't want to agree, Sean McDermott is in the upper echelon of coaches. He may not be, you know, top five, and I think that is year to year depending, but he is certainly top 10 in the NFL. You can do far worse, and there are only a handful of better options. And they have Josh Allen, a quarterback. It is at home, and it is kind of an important season of you've got to get off right. I think as well we've brought it up with the Bills in terms of Allen not playing. You know, is he going to be a little rusty? We just talked with Tyler Drake, who covers the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray did not play in the preseason. He didn't at all. Now, there are some teams that do that. The Rams have been notorious for not mm-hmm. playing their starters. It's a way I like to see things go. But I'm also somebody that would go closer to, you know, the joint practices, what have you. And Tyler brought that up, that with the Colts, you know, those are two big days for Kyler in terms of getting work in. It's just they're in a transition period. But the transition feels painful. It's much more painful than if you had won a Super Bowl, right? That 13 seconds year goes different. They go to the Super Bowl against the Rams. They ultimately win that game, just for argument's sake. You know, the exoduses of the safeties and Trey White and Mitch Morris, Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs. You're probably sitting there going, though, like, hey, but you know what? We got one. This group will forever leave as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, in Bills history. You know, Diggs maybe actually doesn't even leave. You know, there's maybe a likelihood of like, nah, we're going to push as hard as we can to make sure you retire a Bill, to make sure a few of you at least retire Bills, rather than you all go off and play for a second or third team and then all come back for a reunion when you're all done. Instead, now it's a sour taste in your mouth of, they just didn't get there. They were close, but didn't get there. The most important piece is still there, yes. But this is going to be an important year moving forward. I've mentioned it a few times of they need to actually have young pieces that are progressing and that are going to be a part of the next core, the next group that pushes this team forward. And if not, I think that's where it's a failure every year. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. I think, yes, even with a hard schedule, the Bills also are a team that's on the schedule and you're looking going, oh, God, we got to go to Buffalo. Or, oh, no, Buffalo's coming here. Like, I don't want to play them. You still have that. They may not win 13 games, but I'd be a little surprised if they only won like 9. If they didn't make the playoffs, I'd be stunned. And I think it does start with week 1. I think they will beat Arizona. I also think they're going to beat Miami on a short week. Again, until Miami shows that they actually match up well against Josh Allen, I won't believe it. But we're going to see. It's going to be interesting to find out.
We talked about it real quick yesterday in one of the breaks. I'm still the same. I feel the same way I did last year about Miami.
Mm-hmm.
There's no changes for me.
Yeah.
Tua got his contract. Cool. You're going to regret that next offseason.
Mike McDaniel got his. Actually, I like the Mike McDaniel.
No, yeah.
That one works for me.
See, Mike McDaniel is the one shining star that they have there, I think. I mean, sure, there's other names. Like, Jalen Waddle's a great wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill, awesome.
Tyreek Hill's awesome, yes. But you don't have a quarterback to throw them the ball consistently. I know that Tua had a really good year last year, but mm-hmm. where did that get them? They lost in the first round of the playoffs, and they they threw away the AFC East.
Yeah, in pretty spectacular fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, yes, the Dolphins can be quote unquote good, but until they can consistently do something and like actually win something, granted, the Bills haven't won the Super Bowl, they won four AFC East titles in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're ultimately, the rest of the teams in their division, I mean, outside the Patriots, but in recent years, nothing for them.
And tell me how the Dolphins have gotten better. Oh, they went out and signed Odell Beckham Jr.? Oh, okay. Yeah. Their offensive line got not better. It's the same.
It was already not good.
I was going to say it got worse, but it didn't. It just stayed the same. And you still have massive injuries on defense.
Yep. Got to take a quick time out here. We are getting ready for Bills head coach Sean McDermott to speak with the media at noon. Hopefully we'll get captains, injury reports, and all that in the next 15 minutes. We'll be back after a quick time out. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sal Capaccio is going to have you the rest of the way this week on Thursday. He's got a special show. And then Friday as well, we'll hear from head coach Sean McDermott on that show as well. Get some of the more injury reports as the week, of course, goes on. And Friday kind of being the final day. So this will be mine and Josh's last opportunity to kind of do this. But we'll have two games before the week ends, with the Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs kicking off tomorrow, then the Eagles and Packers kicking off on Friday, and then, of course, Bills and Cardinals on Sunday. So, with the last few minutes, let's pick some games.
How do you, I will pick every game except...
No, you are going to pick the Bills and the Cardinals.
No,
I'm not asking to give a score.
I will pick every game of the season. And I'm not trying to sound like Howard here. I just don't like to do score predictions for the Bills. I don't even like to say the winner. The last time, you know what the last time I did a score prediction for the Bills was? The preseason game last year when they played Pittsburgh. And I was like, yeah, they're going to wipe the floor with them because the starters are playing a whole half. And I was like, yeah, it's going to be like 50 to nothing at halftime. We're all going to be having a great time.
It's the worst game.
And you know what happened? They lost
to
Pittsburgh in the preseason.
It's the worst. It looked bad. All right.
No, I will not be giving you a score or an ending, but I will say there will be a fan base that's having a great time, and they will be a somewhat local fan base.
I can read context clues. All right, he takes the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, right, okay, exactly.
All right, Thursday night, Baltimore and Kansas City.
I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this, and I think that I want to see Baltimore. I just think their defense is going to be solid, but I'm interested to see what Kansas City's offense looks like this year. And Kansas City's defense is not a pushover either. Mm-hmm. So I'm back and forth on it, but I think Baltimore will squeak it out.
FanDuel Sportsbook right now has Kansas City at home as a 3-point favorite over Baltimore. I will take Kansas City. Baltimore, okay. I have faded them all offseason. I don't like what they look like at this point. Their wide receiver room is also bad compared to most of the NFL, and they've lost a lot. I'm going to go take the Chiefs.
I don't disagree with you. I think it's definitely possible that the Chiefs win, but I don't know. I just wonder what Lamar Jackson might look like with Derrick Henry next to him.
Packers and Eagles in Brazil. Eagles a 2.5-point favorite here on FanDuel.
Packers.
I'm going to take the Packers as well, and then I will be taking the Bills on Sunday. That's going to do it for me and Josh this week. Although coming up here in just about 5 minutes, Bills head coach Sean McDermott will be speaking with the media as practice will be at 12:30. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.